Kane is in the building.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of the Three Peep Podcast. This is the fourth episode of the sixth season. I'm your host for the week, Alex Castle. And as always, I have the pleasure of being joined by
Josh Fromowitz,
Steven Benazzo,
and TJ Hummel.
TJ, no more introduction for you. You're just blended in now. You're one of the co-hosts. So
that means we don't need to give him a shout out at the end.
Make the ending quicker.
Yeah, exactly. He's a regular now.
I mean, you're right.
How do you feel about that, TJ? Like, I mean, I know you like the praise, but do you like just now being blended right in?
Of course. Of course.
He's one of us. And there's no better way to kick that off with than with this week's episode. A lot of football talk. We're going to start off by recapping week three. Another crazy week for football. First thing I want to get on the docket here. We have one team left in the league that is winless, and it was a team that I actually mentioned last week as a team that needs to be concerned, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I want to give you guys a little background here. The last time the Raiders were 0-3 to start the season, they had some guys on their team. Marshawn Lynch was running back. Doug Martin was also running back. Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson were the wide receivers. So there's been a lot of change for this Raiders team since, but only team left without a win. They came up short against the Titans last week. The Raiders were driving. Carr throws a touchdown, but he stalls and misses the two-point conversion. And Derek Carr being the quarterback that he is, this is the only team he's been with. He's been in positions like this before, so it was a tough way for them to go out. So Josh, I want to start with you. They got talent on both sides of the ball, as we discussed last week, but it seems they've stalled again and came up short against an AFC opponent. What do you think they need to really work on going into week four?
Yeah, but if you think about their last two games, they were essentially a play away each game from being 2-1 right now. The game against the Cardinals, if Renfro, they were driving in overtime. Renfro just had a very unfortunate fumble that was returned for six to win the game for the Cardinals. That was looking like the Raiders were going to win that game very clearly because all they needed was a field goal and they were driving. And then last week, you just mentioned their two-point conversion to tie the game. They stalled, didn't get it. They lost by two, 24-22. Unfortunate events for them so far, but There's definitely some good things that they're doing. There's some bad things. They're getting Devontae Adams involved very early. It sucks last week they didn't have Hunter Renfro, but they could do a better job of utilizing the run game. Josh Jacobs really hasn't been a factor at all this year. And I think if this team is going to be a serious playoff team, then they need to establish the run game very early because that'll only help Devontae Adams even more so and make Derek Carr's life a little easier. And that's also using their giant tight end, Darren Waller. Yes, he's had some decent games, but people are saying he's a top five tight end. Use him like one. Past years, he's been a workhorse. And this year, he really has been barely utilized in this offense. And I think if they use him properly, there's a lot of football that can go around in that offense. So it's not really an issue of giving the guys enough touches. Because that won't be an issue with this Raiders offense. They just need to utilize the run game and find Darren Waller more. And then I think the Raiders will be seeing some more dubs in the column for them.
Absolutely. And it's funny that we even have to talk about lack of utilization from the running back and the tight end and arguably some of the receivers. I mean, last week, their top receiver, I think his last name is Hollins. I think that's his last name. I mean, his fantasy stats were through the roof. He had 2 touchdowns. And what's interesting about that is their head coach is an offensive-minded guy. Josh McDaniels was with the Patriots for the past X amount of seasons running the offense under Bill Belichick. He's also been a head coach before with the Broncos. So he does have the experience. So I'm sure fans are frustrated that they can't even get one win out of the gate. But like you said, the games have been close. They're right there. I like their matchup this week. It's a division matchup against the Broncos. And we're going to get into that game a little later, that Denver game. But I think they have a good shot. So we'll have to see. Hopefully we get some more touches from Waller this week. Hopefully Jacobs gets more involved. But they're it. They're the lone survivor. Every other team in the league has a win. I want to stick with the AFC for a minute because there was a team this week that got a huge win against another member of that division. And that was the Jags beating the Chargers 38-10. Trevor Lawrence currently is leading that division amongst quarterbacks in stats, most touchdowns, most yards, least amount of turnovers. And this was a guy who last year, when we talked about him, there was a lot of concern that Urban Meyer was going to destroy his confidence and he wasn't going to be able to produce. But now he's utilizing the running backs. Christian Kirk has become his number one receiver. So, Stevie, my question for you is, what has been this turnaround so far that we've seen with Jacksonville? And do you think they can keep the momentum going?
So I think the biggest turnaround is getting rid of Urban Meyer and hiring Doug Peterson, who, you know, the Bears were hiring coach, I didn't personally want Doug Peterson, but nothing against him. I mean, the dude won a Super Bowl. He led the Eagles to many playoff appearances and obviously to that Super Bowl victory with a backup quarterback in Nick Foles. And then this offseason, they went out and spent a little bit. They signed Brandon Scherff. They signed Christian Kirk, like you said. Whether he's overpaid or not, listen, the dude's producing. So you can't knock what Kirk has been doing in just the 3 games he's played as a Jaguar. So they got, you know, Travis Etienne healthy. So now you got that pretty good running back tandem of Robinson and Etienne. And now you got Kirk. You know, they signed Marvin Jones last year. They have other weapons. He bolstered the old line a little bit. You know, defense, they've, you know, gone. And I think they signed the guy from the Falcons who I do not know how to pronounce his name, but I'm pretty sure he led the league in total tackles last year. So if you're signing, like, that's a real good defensive presence. You had Josh Allen, who's, you know, a really, really good pass rusher. So they had pieces. They got much better coaching who fit their culture. And do I think they can keep it up? I mean, why not? You know, I mean, the Colts, yeah, they had a great win against the Chiefs last week, but I don't think that they're much of a, you know, intimidating factor. I think the Jaguars can beat them like they already have. Let's see who else is in that division. Isn't it the Titans in that division? You know,
so it's the Jags, the Colts, Titans, the Colts,
the Texans
and the Colts. Sticking with this division, they had a big win this week against the Chiefs.
They did, you know, and I'm not going to knock that, but the first 2 weeks, they looked awful. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, I don't know if they overworked him now that his first 2 years, but he's not, you know, I mean, I love the guy. Wisconsin, you know.
Yeah, product. That's your guy, Stevie. I want elaborate on it. You watch this guy in college. It's his second year in the league. Do you feel that he's being overworked, or do you think it's
something,
with Frank Reich?
Listen, he was overworked in college. He's been really overworked in the NFL so far. So, you know, this dude's got some mileage on him just at such a young age and such a, you know, early point in his professional career. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. And like, and then Matt Ryan hasn't really shown like some of the Matt Ryan with the Falcons. Like he's really kind of starting to show his age. And I think, to be honest, not to sound like this guy, but I think losing Matt Eberflus as a defensive leader who, you know, he was there for quite a few years, like that's a big change. You know, the Titans, they
I also think it's not really being talked about enough. Darius Leonard or Shaquille Leonard now, not having him is definitely a huge loss, because we saw all last year on Hard Knocks, he is the heart and soul of that team.
Oh, yeah.
Offense and defense. He is the leader. He's the voice. He's everything. And not having that so far to start the year is having a bigger impact than people may realize.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, you know, my point, I want to keep, you know, just talking about each team. But I think the Jaguars, you know, I think they'll sizzle out maybe mid-season. But, like, I think they can definitely keep this up. Or they, even if they're losing games, I don't think they're going to get blown out like they have been the past couple of years. I think they'll be competitive. And if that team, I mean, that couple of years ago, that team was really good. But they could go that far with Blake Bortles. Granted, their defense really carried them. But if they could go that far with Blake Bortles, why can't they go pretty far with Trevor Lawrence? And I think Trevor Lawrence has really taken a step forward, and that's because of new coaching and good coaching, not just any coaching. So new coaching and, you know, which also now good coaching. And now he's got some more help around him, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, and they're going to have a weaker schedule. So I think, why not? Why can't they be good? You know, and so far they've proven it. You know, they proved it. And then they went into, I don't care if Herbert was kind of hurt last week, they went into LA and smoked the Chargers 38-10. And everyone's saying Chargers are, you know, a contender not only for the AFC West, but for the AFC and even just to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that looks pretty good to me.
Absolutely. That win cannot be taken lightly. You know, listen, Doug Peterson did win a Super Bowl. A lot of people are mixed about him, but to come in and clean up after what Urban Meyer did so far, it's productive for sure. And they have a real test this weekend. They are they're playing the Eagles. Eagles are one of two teams left undefeated. The other team is the Miami Dolphins. So for myself, for TJ and Josh, having an undefeated team in our division still, it stings a little bit, but we hope that T-Law can show up this weekend. But I want to talk about the Eagles for a minute, because I was talking to my brother about this, who's also a Giants fan, and he did make a good point. So I want to open this up to – first, I want to open it up to TJ, and then, you know, Stevie or Josh, definitely want your thoughts. So, you know, last week, Eagles won. It was an insane game. Devonta Smith, he killed me in fantasy playing against him.
Thank you, Jalen Hurts. I am so happy right now.
Hurts balled out. I mean, the Commanders only put up 8 points. It was an embarrassment of a game. But here's my question for you. TJ, do you feel going into week four that the Eagles are 100% legit, that this is the real deal with them, that they can continue to arguably be one of the best teams in the NFC? Or do you feel that those first three wins, yeah, they played well, there was production on both sides of the ball, but if you look at the overall teams, they haven't really had a true test of competition yet? So I want to see what you think about that, TJ. Do you feel that the teams that they competed against were really tough opponents for them and it was good matchups, or they just had the better talent, they were easy wins? Now they're headed into week four against Jacksonville, which could be tough.
The Vikings, I know you asked TJ, but if you don't think the Vikings are like a playoff team, then I don't know why you're...
I don't. With Kirk Cousins right now, I really don't.
Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. Their defense isn't looking terrible. I think, honestly, before the season started, I thought they were going to win the NFC North, and I still think that over the Packers.
If Cousins can turn around and fix whatever... I don't know if it's a chemistry thing. I don't know if it's coaching thing. If he can turn around and fix, yes, I do think they can be a playoff team. Dalvin Cook does deal with a lot of injuries, though. Right now he's got a shoulder injury and he is day-to-day. So if they don't have him on Sunday, that's going to hurt. But aside from that, okay, so take away the Vikings then for a minute. That, fine, that was a competitive game. Looking at the other two games, looking at this week, do you feel that the Eagles are legit, or they just played bad teams and just happened to have gone off? I want to, TJ, what's your feeling on that?
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell at this point. I mean, granted, they went down to the wire with Detroit in week one. It's week one. They blew out the Vikings in week two, and they blew out the Commanders in week three. I mean, I'd say they're a legit contender. They're scary. They scare me. The defense is playing well. The offense is finally running on all cylinders. We're seeing Devonta Smith be an absolute stud. I don't see people saying he's too small anymore.
No, no shot.
the man's balling out. Jalen Hurts is balling out. He's shushing the haters real, real quick. Like, to be honest, I didn't think he would be performing this well. And here we are, and he's kind of blowing my mind with how he's been playing, both with passing the ball and running the ball, moving on his feet, making throws if he has to, running for first downs, running for like the hard yards. He's not afraid of contact. And that's what we like to see.
I think you also got to look at their big acquisition on draft night, bringing in AJ Brown. He's playing like a top five, top 10 wide receiver right now. And he showed
top 5 in receiving yards, I think.
He showed flashes of talent and had good years in Tennessee. But I think his talent was overlooked because he was paired with Corey Davis and Ryan Tannehill was his quarterback in a run heavy offense Derrick Henry was the spotlight. Feed King Henry. No one really was talking about their receivers, their tight ends, the weapons that they had on the outside in Tennessee. Now you come to Philly, where yes, it still might be a very run heavy offense because of Jalen Hurts' ability to run the ball, Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, whatever. Their receivers are very good. And frankly, they might be underappreciated and underrespected because Devonta Smith, what he did in the first half against Washington, truly remarkable.
Ridiculous.
He had a great game just in the first half alone. And AJ Brown is just a workhorse. Every single week, he is producing at such a high rate. And Philly's defense, fantasy-wise, is top 5 right now. I believe they're 3 to be exact. They're getting turnovers. They're scoring touchdowns. They're capitalizing on other teams' mistakes. We saw that on the Monday night game with the Vikings. Darius Slay had 2 interceptions, both on Justin Jefferson. One of them was in the end zone, and then the other was just a really bad thrown ball by Kirk Cousins. Their pass rush has improved. They have a rookie defensive tackle, Jordan Davis, who is playing like an all-pro defensive tackle right now. The Eagles are a very, very scary team, and they have the makings of a team that could go really, really far in the playoffs. And I know it pains Giant fans to hear this, and I'm sure you don't want to accept it, but this Eagle team looks like a team that could make it out of the NFC into the Super Bowl. They're solid on both sides of the ball. They really don't have any noticeable flaws right now. I mean, time will only tell because injuries happen. But as of right now, on paper and how they're playing on these first 3 games, and yes, their opponents may not have been the best, but you play who's on your schedule, right? They are doing so in such a commanding fashion where they're, with the aside from week 1 against the Lions, where they had a big lead and then the Lions just came back, they have dominated the entire game for week 2 and week 3. And I'm sure that might continue going forward because it's a well-balanced team on both sides.
And they say it's always sunny in Philadelphia, and I think it's extra sunny in Philadelphia this fall so far, because I will say Philly has looked to the part and they looked even better. I mean, when they traded for AJ Brown, I mean, I like the Eagles coming into this season. I thought another year of Jalen Hurts starting would be beneficial. You know, Devontae Smith now, he did great his rookie year. So now he had another year of experience. The Jordan Davis pick was phenomenal. And then, yeah, when they trade for AJ Brown, and then people forget, like, they still have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, you know, and then they're getting guys back, you know, and you think Jason Kelce, yeah, he's older, Lane Johnson, yeah, they're older, but they're still like some of the top guys at their position. So maybe in a few years, will they be screwed? I don't, but I mean, they've been making draft picks at the O-line position too. They got Landon Dickerson, and right now they have him at guard, and I'm sure once Jason Kelce's time is up, they're going to move him right to center.
Mailata, I think, is another young guy.
Yeah, the tackle they traded for, and then, you know, really burst on the scene with Philly. I think they got him from Detroit or something like that. Signed him to an extension, you know, or maybe they drafted him. Either way, you know, he wasn't like a highly sought-after guy, but they just, like, hit the lotto with him. And then defensively, you know, you get, like, a C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who really, like, or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's really, like, who's an underrated player in New Orleans. You know, yes, he's always kind of, like, talking and, you know, kind of getting flags for, like, you know, unnecessary roughness or, you know, kind of stupid penalties. But, like, he plays hard. You can't knock that. And, you know, he's a good player. He's a great safety. So, really, I, like, this Eagles team is good. And, you know, there's a lot to cheer about in Philly if you're a Philly fan. And there's a lot to look forward to, you know, the rest of the season, because this is a good team. And Jalen Hurts, I mean, he's showing that he's still lethal in the run game and that he could throw if he wants to. You know, that was some people's concerns, you know, how his passing would be. They know he was mobile and he can run well. But listen, when you get him, A.J. Brown, a true wide receiver one, and, you know, Devontae Smith, who could be a true wide receiver number one, and then you get other guys like a Quez Watkins, who's really fast. You know, Dallas Goedert and some of these other small guys to complement. Well, Goddard's not really small. He's one of the better tight ends in the league. But, you know, some of these smaller role players to complement these, you know, alpha dogs.
Not the household name. I think that's a better word.
Yeah. They're going to do just fine, you know, because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I mean, those are two guys that, like, I would take on, I think any team would take. And the fact that Philly has both of them is scary.
And Hurts right now is playing at a top five MVP level right now.
Oh yeah.
I would honestly argue he's right behind Lamar 1-2 for MVP right now.
He is. Cause you know, I think even if he wasn't playing that as well, they would still be winning games. But the fact that he's been playing this good, you know, it's like they're dreaming of it to continue for the rest of the year, because then they can, you know, they're really exceed expectations. So.
So am I, having him on fantasy. I'm dreaming that this continues. I don't want it to end.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of, regretting not taking fantasy, because I was like, you know, he is looking pretty good because he can run and pass, but I just wasn't that sure. But he's definitely proved a lot of people wrong so far, and I'm sure he hopes to continue, you know, more down as the season goes on.
There, listen, I can't deny that they are the real deal. It pains me to even admit it, but I like Hurts. He's a fun quarterback to watch. Eagles are definitely up there as one of the teams to make that exit. Just curious to see what you guys thought about their schedule leading up to this upcoming matchup against the Jags, which I think will be one of the games to watch this week. You got two young quarterbacks, both teams coming off solid wins. I think that's going to be a fun game for us to watch. Now for a fun part of the show for one of us, the other three of us are going to have our heads down and suffer. So we'll start off with the one who's going to have fun. And that's you, Stevie. Bears won this week, 23-20. Khalil Herbert, two touchdowns, set you guys up for the field goal. First, I want to know, you know, your takeaways, good and bad. And what's the deal with Montgomery for this week leading up to the game against the G-Men?
So supposedly from what I'm seeing on Twitter and everything, and from Coach Eberflus's press conferences, they said he's day-to-day with ankle knee injury. Because the game wasn't on, I couldn't watch it. I was just kind of watching, you know, highlights that they were posting, or as many videos I can scavenge on Twitter to find. But I didn't see the play where he got hurt. But they, you know, day-to-day. So I think he's going to miss this week, especially since Herbert did so well. They're comfortable with, you know, him leading the way. And plus last year, Herbert started a few games, and the few games he started, he did real well. And you saw how he finished, you know, last week's game. So I think, you know, they'll probably Montgomery will definitely miss this week and then possibly the following week, but who knows? Takeaways, I mean, they definitely didn't play the cleanest game. You know, Fields, I thought he would have a big turnaround game. I was actually going to pick him up this week for fantasy because, you know, I didn't know the deal with Herbert. Good thing I didn't because and they're both pretty bad and both kind of on him. One of them I saw, he had a Equanimous St. Brown open, but he just didn't read it. He tried feeding it, you know, in a tight window, ended up, you know, sailing it. And Jalen Petre, who had both the picks for the Texans rookie out of Baylor, you know, he just fell right, you know, right to him. So Fields definitely has to clean it up and the whole passing game has to clean it up. You know, again, I don't know why Darnell Mooney's not being targeted more in this offense.
Or let alone why Fields just isn't throwing at all, because through three games, he only has 40 pass attempts, correct?
Last game, he was 8 for 17 with 106 yards and 2 interceptions.
His combined stats through three games, most quarterbacks had that in one game last week. Joe Flacco threw the ball 50 times last game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, part of it, it doesn't help that the rushing attack has been so good, you know, like not to be, like, I mean, if you look at the stats, the Bears have a top, like probably top five, top four, even top three rushing attack in the NFL right now. Now, is that going to last the whole season? I don't know. But through these first couple of weeks, the Bears have a top rushing attack. So when you're running the ball that well and you really can't pass well, then you're going to go with what's going to, you know, move the ball down the field and score your points. And that's been, you know, running the ball. And, you know, I don't know if it's because like Byron Pringle, like, you know, he got hurt last game, you know, so we don't really have some of these top guys. Like I was saying, you know, Philly's got, you know, a true number one and then really a number one up and coming guy on the same team, you know, plus a top tight end in the league. Like the Bears, you know, Darnell Mooney, I thought maybe he could be that true wide receiver one. I think he, you know, he's a really solid number two, but I don't think he really could be the alpha number one guy. So they don't have, you know, these true difference makers on the outside like some other teams do. So I think, you know, Luke Getsy's just trying to figure everything out. And so, and like, again, this offense is new to everyone, you know, except for Getsy, but now Getsy's with new personnel. He's not with Green Bay that he's, you know, used to with. So they're trying to figure it out. So, you know, obviously as the season goes on, I would like to see them passing more, but listen, if you're running the ball, you know, that, like really well against the opposing defenses, then screw it. If that's what works, then do it. But just don't be like, I don't want them to be like a Wisconsin, you know, where I'm watching both teams run the ball so well. And then when they can, when they play a good team and then they can't pass and then they look awful, then that's not enjoyable and not what I want to see from both my teams. So it was a little concern for Fields, you know, I'm not going to lie. Again, Bears Twitter, everyone overreacts. I still think he's fine, but it is concerning when you watch him in college, how accurate and how like decisive he was. And then now, you know, he's turned the ball over a lot more, you know, he's taken, you know, he always would take a little while, and granted in college, like, he had so many good weapons. He played on a great team. So like, it, you know, it didn't really matter. But now in the NFL, when you don't have the best line, you don't have the best weapons, and you, now you're going against, you know, top talent, it's not going to work out. So, but listen, at the end of the day, they got the win. The defense came up clutch when they needed to, you know, Eddie Jackson, another pick. The Bears are 12-0 when Eddie Jackson gets an interception. So, sorry, Castle. Sorry, TJ. I hope Eddie Jackson picks off Danny Dimes. You know, I hope Danny Dimes is not throwing dimes this weekend. And Eddie, it lands right in Eddie Jackson's arms, because then hopefully now me and the Bears dub. But I'm looking forward to the game. And it's a Giants throwback game where they're wearing those cool blue jerseys they reveal. So so it should be a fun game. And really, I think both teams are kind of even playing field. You know, they're the passing game struggling. We know both teams can run the ball. Defensively, you know, they look good and look, you know, up and down. And it's new coaches, you know, two first new year head coaches. So, like, I think really it's even. You know, yes, the Giants maybe give them a little advantage because they have the home field advantage. Then, you know, they got their little throwback things. Maybe they'll, you know, play with more swag and stuff because, you know, they'll be looking good. But at the end of the day.
That didn't happen on Monday when they rocked out the color rush.
No. And it looked cool on Monday night. I was upset that they couldn't pull it out for the fans.
The fake whiteout.
Yeah, not the Penn
not
State.
Not the Penn State whiteout.
No, nothing will match that. I'll give Penn State that. And that's it. So don't get too excited for it.
You know, it's going to be real interesting to see how we handle your run attack come Sunday. We'll get into that struggle with the Giants a little bit. But, hey, listen, overall, big dub for the Bears. There's a lot of question marks in your division right now. So I feel like every win counts, and it's definitely going to be an interesting matchup on Sunday. Next, we'll jump to the Jets, and you know what? There's no reason for any of us to bash what happened on Sunday. You know, I think despite Flacco throwing the ball 52 times, which is crazy. I don't know if anyone else did that. has done that this season. But yeah, you know, I watched the game and I'm going into this game and I'm thinking the Bengals are 0-2. I think Burrow's going to come out strong and he's just going to have his way with the young defense. And he did. I think he put up 3 touchdowns, but like every game there's takeaways, you know, Garrett Wilson getting hurt. That's a hit. I can't believe the guy even came back. I mean, he's a tough one. I'm very, very excited to see what he could do. But the running backs, you know, Hall and Carter, I think Hall had a total of 39 yards. Looks like the same thing for Carter. So, Josh, I want to know, let's only do positives because, you know, we could harp on the negatives. I believe they're playing Pittsburgh this week, which I like that matchup a lot. I want to know your thoughts of that as well, but only the good takeaways from this past.
Yeah, I'm only going to focus on the good because yes, there's been a lot of bad, but there's a lot of good coming because it was announced today that Zach Wilson's going to be starting Sunday in Pittsburgh. That's a huge upgrade because our offense was built for Zach Wilson to be the quarterback, not 38-year-old Joe Flacco who can't move out of the pocket. It was designed for Zach Wilson to roll out, hit his guys across the middle, play actions. We have 2 explosive running backs that could feed off Zach Wilson's running ability. We have speedy receiver, young receivers on the outside, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore hasn't been able to get going yet because of it. So I'm excited. I think we're going to see a faster paced Jets offense, more up-tempo, and it'll be exciting. My biggest takeaway, and I was at the game Sunday, so my biggest takeaway was Sauce Gardner. I wanted to see how he would bounce back from a tough week 2 because he was the one responsible for a lot of those Amari Cooper yards, and Amari Cooper had 8 catches, 102 yards, had a touchdown or 2, I believe. And Sauce Gardner, yeah, he didn't let up a touchdown, but he was responsible for those chunk yards. So now he goes into week 3. He's going to be matched up with Ja'Marr Chase. And we all know how Ja'Marr Chase is. Insane rookie year, was in the Super Bowl, and arguably a top 5 receiver right now. Ja'Marr Chase, Sauce Gardner, that was the matchup everyone wanted to see. When Sauce Gardner was on Ja'Marr Chase, held him to 3 catches, under 30 yards, and he had a fumble. I don't think Sauce Gardner was the person who forced the fumble, but he was in the direct area. So he helped out on the play. Ja'Marr Chase, he had 1 touchdown, but was essentially not a factor at all in the game. There were other plays that busted plays that led to the Bengals scores, like missed tackle from one of our safeties that allowed Tyler Boyd to break away for a 70-yard touchdown. Our defensive line not being able to collapse on Burrow, and that allowed him to scramble for the first touchdown of the game. So it's just little plays like that that we could touch up on and fix, and it really shouldn't happen again. It's good learning experiences because the Jets are a very, very young team. It was a tough loss. There really wasn't much excitement, but I'm very much looking forward to Sunday, because I really think that we could beat the Steelers. We're catching them at a very good point. Mitch Trubisky hasn't looked that great. He's looked very hesitant trying to throw the ball. He is trying to play the safe quarterback instead of trying to win his team games, which I could see why, but it might be too conservative, if that's a term, because they're not taking any shots deeper than 5 yards down the field. Najee Harris hasn't been able to get going because of it. And their defense is just very banged up. So I'm excited for Sunday's game.
Now, Castle, before you, I just want to ask Fromm with something. Did you like stay in the MetLife like Sunday into Monday?
Yeah, I actually had a sleeping bag. I slept over because I was at the Jets game Sunday and then the Giants game Monday. So if you heard about the fan who slept in the stands with the sleeping bag in the hundreds level, that was me.
That was you. And then you saw a license plate guy Monday night, right?
Yeah. Check out our, well, I mean, now it's expired, but our LPG was all over our Insta story.
Yeah. How was that tailgate fun?
A lot of fun. Yeah. Joe throws a good tailgate. I'll tell you that. And Cowboy fans are ruthless. They don't like his license plates, especially the ones that say "hate Cowboys." So they drove over all his license plates.
You know what though? They're in Joe's territory.
They were in Joe's territory. That is for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive though. Back to back days of being in MetLife, huh? Got to be tired from that, no?
Hey, the things you do for football, man.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
He had a dual locker room pass, Stevie. That's the secret.
But the bad thing is I'm 0-2 when I'm rooting for New York. And I hate to break it to you, Castle and TJ. I'm going to the game Sunday against the Bears, and I have a bad track record for New York football. So maybe I should wear a Bear jersey and to reverse the curse.
No, don't you even touch one.
You know what? Anything that you want to do at this point, go for it. Please, you want to paint your body orange, you want to dress up like a bear, I don't care what you do, because we need something.
If you do that, I will escort you personally.
Hey,
security.
I just want to see a more exciting game. I don't want to see a 3-3 ball game at halftime, which it very easily could happen.
But what do you think? What do you expect is going to happen? Come on, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Maybe Saquon will bust open for a long touchdown in the first half instead of waiting until the second half.
I don't know. It's probably going to be an awful game, but listen, both our teams are not that good, right? But we're somehow 2-1.
Exactly.
Except for you, promise.
And here we are. Here we are. Last, but certainly least, because of how upset I am. It's the Giants. It's the whiteout game. We're all excited for it. And we lose 23-16. We're memed immediately by the guy who looked like he was trying to blend in as a member of the Blue Man Group. But he
was in my section. I saw him all night.
You were in the presence of a celebrity. But it was a tough game to watch. It was. The offensive line, I got to be a broken record at this point, because that's the number one priority going into every year, and it just doesn't seem like anything's changed.
Well, I believe there's a positive, but there's also a very bad negative that comes with it. If Andrew Thomas, who's like a top three lineman right now, which
number one rated left tackle.
Number one rated left tackle according to PFF Pro Football Focus. And then on the downside, you have Evan Neal, who was cooked all night by DeMarcus Lawrence. So you got your pros and your cons with your O-line.
Yep. And a lot of fans are saying, because of Thomas's transition, that's what we should expect from Neal, which, okay, I get it. Have patience. But the other guys, Feliciano, Bredsen, Lewinsky, the run game didn't look bad. I mean, we made some holes, But the fact that Daniel Jones was pressured the most in his entire career, the fact that the Cowboys had 6 sacks, that's when Dabes has got to, you know, I mean, I know he said, you know, at the beginning of the third quarter, yeah, our guys got to do our job. They got to block. All right. Well, if Evan Neal is getting beat every single time, find a way to rework it. I don't know. So TJ, you know, TJ is going to get a shout out today. And the shout out is that TJ is the only Giants fan that I'm friends with that keeps me afloat after these tough losses. So without further ado, TJ, they're not going to give you any talking points. I just want to hear your takeaway of the whiteout game.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm disappointed that it didn't come out as a win, but there were a lot of positives to take away from. First of all, Saquon Barkley. It's week 3 going into week 4 now. He's leading the league in rushing. Behind him is Nick Chubb, I believe. He's the closest. As much as you may not either want to hear it or you may think it's weird coming out of my mouth, but Daniel Jones played incredibly well under the circumstances he was playing with. Like you had touched on, he was pressured the most in his entire career, but he was still able to improvise on his legs. He made some runs when he couldn't get any of his reads. Pocket was collapsing. He took off. That was a plus. With the pocket collapsing, he was able to get the ball dumped off to Bellinger a few times. He tried to get it to Shep, got it to Galladay. I think he got it to Galladay once with an actual catch. No.
That one catch was called back on a penalty.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. I mean, obviously the O-line is struggling. Evan Neal got burnt bad all game long. But I mean, it's rookie growing pains. Like it was bound to happen. He was playing reasonably well the first 2 games. He finally got a real test and set in the edge. And obviously it didn't go too well from what we've seen. But that also plays into a lot of other talking points, but it's for another time. I'm just glad that the Giants are able to feed Saquon the ball. Like we've talked about going into like last season and like last podcast season as well, talking about having Saquon back to what he used to be.
Absolutely.
Granted, it's a small sample size so far. It's only been 3 games, but Saquon looks right now like he's the old Saquon. He's not getting too fancy. He's running, he's getting the hard yards, even with a small hole, he's going to find it. And he makes the most of it. You don't see him bouncing outside the numbers, trying to be fancy in the backfield as much as you did the seasons prior with barring injuries and whatnot. But he's finally running downhill and not across from sideline to sideline. He's running from end zone to end zone, which I really like to see.
It's one of the bright spots. I mean, it's just so great. And, you know, a part of me is really like, I'm already thinking about the future and how are we going to hold on to this guy? But it's now. It's the present. And with that, keeping present, there's good and there's bad. And I think the top of the list for the Giants for bad is the receiver situation. First off, it is absolutely heartbreaking what happened to Sterling Shepard. I mean, doesn't matter what team you root for, if you even have a sliver of knowledge of what this guy has gone through in his career, longest tenured Giant, took a pay cut to stay with the team, leader in the locker room, and the dude is talented. I mean, LPG said it, and I kind of have to agree with it. He's probably one of the best route runners we've seen in the past few years. And I think at this point, he's on track to probably retire. If he somehow is able to come back, it won't be with the Giants, unfortunately. which is sad. So there's that. But then there's number 19, Kenny Golladay. 4 years, $72 million, going on to week four and doesn't have a touchdown. It's just absurd. I sent you guys the video. There, for those of you guys who don't know, there's an Instagram page called Hurdles. It's a football Instagram page. Go check it out. And they showed the play in slow motion of the one that he dropped. And he took $72 million and dropped it. And now we're screwed, because now we are either going to have to eat a big chunk of his salary and hope that some team will take him, or we have to cut him.
So wait, I just want to jump in. Yeah, I saw something yesterday about that. So it's the Giants are in a very bad position right now, obviously.
And thank you, Dave Gettleman.
Thank you, Gettleman, for putting the Giants in this position, because usually it's easier said than done to just cut someone when there's issues. But with his contract and how much is guaranteed, the cap hit, if the Giants were to get rid of him, just cut him, puts him up there in the ranks of some of the top paid quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Rodgers, the Russell Wilson, all of the top quarterbacks getting paid the most. Kenny Golladay is up there with them. He's basically getting paid like a quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks, which is absurd. I think the Giants have no choice though but to cut him, because I was at the game and I saw the way his body language, the fans, everything. It just seemed like a Joey Gallo situation, and that's the best way of putting it. He needs to get out of New York, because that'll be what's best for him. And New York needs to get rid of him for them to be better, because clearly the plays that he wasn't on the field were their most successful. And before Sterling Shepard got hurt, looked like their best receiver, which doesn't shock me. I'd been saying it for weeks, and Castle, you thought I was crazy for thinking that. But Sterling Shepard was the Giants' best receiver for the last 3 weeks.
No doubt about it. And you know what? The reason why I wasn't ready to accept it is because I thought that the guy we're paying all of this money was finally going to be utilized. But clearly, that's not the case.
The stat I saw, which really shocked me and from a Giant fan pisses me off the most, is the separation stat. The league average for separation caused, I believe, for a receiver to be able to get some separation, the average is like 2 to 3 yards, I believe. Kenny Golladay is only getting less than a yard of separation per snap, which is horrible. I don't know if he's injured and isn't saying something, or if he truly doesn't care, because that's what those two are telling me. That stat is telling me it's either one or the other. I don't really know.
The narrative at this point is that he got paid and that was it, that he doesn't care. But I'm seeing reports that coaches are pleased with what he's doing in practice. So there's a lot of, it's a big mess. And with our two young receivers, Wandale Robinson and of course Kadarius Toney, of course they're having their health issues with the knee and the hammy. They're doing pretty good, but Dable hasn't confirmed anything. If we don't have both of them, if we have one of them, that's fine. But if we don't have both of them, I mean, the balls will be coming to Eddie Jackson like there's no tomorrow, Stevie. So it's going to be a very interesting game. But
hold on. You're forgetting something.
I'm holding on.
And Joe thought I was crazy week one when we were talking about this.
I'm all ears.
You're forgetting about Darius Slayton.
who who apparently is now going to be ready to go on Sunday. Here's the thing. This is Slayton's time. This is his time. This is probably one of the best games for him to go out there and show up. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Stevie, but I think your strong the strong suit with your defense is the line and the linebacking core. I don't know who else you have in the secondary besides Eddie Jackson.
Bronx's boy Jaquan Brisker.
That's right. All right.
We are.
I can't talk crap about Brisker. I'm a fan of him. So
Jalen Johnson was out last week, but if he plays,
but I saw the rookie Kyle Gordon, right?
Gordon? Kyler Gordon, yeah.
He's not looking too hot.
I mean, listen, he's a rookie corner. You know, he's getting thrown in the mix, and
so is Sauce Gardner.
Hey, but Sauce Gardner was the fourth overall pick. He was like one of the top corners in college last year. I'd hope he'd be, you know. And listen, I'm not going to knock him, but I think Kyler Gordon, yes. Do I want to see him playing this bad? Of course not. Do I think he's going to turn around? I think so. I think right now he's having a lot of responsibility on him. And who knows, maybe this was too much for him. Maybe we needed to kind of ease him in. But, you know, the Bears, besides our safeties, I love Eddie Jackson and, you know, Jaquan Brisker. And then Jalen Johnson's nasty, but we've struggled to find that second, outside guy to complement, and really the nickel. You know, we've found trouble trying to get those guys to be locked down next to Jalen Johnson, and that's why they drafted Kyler Gordon. And, you know, yes, he's not as locked down right now, but I think he's getting thrown into the mix and asking to do a lot. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's tough, Castle, that, like, because sometimes the D-line looks good, and then sometimes the interior D-line doesn't look good. The outside pass rush is not too bad.
That's where you got Roquan Smith, right?
Roquan, he's more off ball. He's more like in coverage. You got to watch out for Robert Quinn, Travis Gibson. Even the rookie Dominique Robinson's like pretty good this year. So I would say those three guys are probably the ones you got to watch out for. And then the linebackers, you know, Roquan's obviously real solid. And then some of the other guys, like, you know, they're hurt, like Nick Morrow. It's not bad, but you know, these are just, they're no one special. So I think if we don't have Jalen Johnson, that's going to hurt. If we have Jalen Johnson, then that's real good for us. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, not too good for you guys, but again, it could be, even with these guys, they could do, they could play well, or they can allow, you know, big plays and allow them to get thrown all over. So it'll be interesting, but they don't have to go against a guy like Aaron Rodgers. We were going against Daniel Jones. So now can Daniel Jones make these, you know, throws consistently, you know, and depends if we get a lot of pressure, like the Cowboys did, I'm liking the chances.
Right.
If we're letting Danny Dimes run all over and having time and being able to actually set his feet for once, then Danny Dimes might have a career day, you know?
The potential is there. And, you know, I want to wrap back around to the point that TJ, you were bringing up on Slayton. Remember, for those of you who don't remember, Jones and Slayton do have that connection. So I want you to finish that thought, TJ, because I want to hear what you got to say about Mr. Slayton for Sunday.
Yeah. So back to as I was saying, we have seen how good Darius Slayton can be. He did lead the Giants for two consecutive seasons in receiving yards, and with the injuries, if KT and Wandale aren't good to go, and with Shepard out for the foreseeable future, it's go time for him. We've seen the connection he has with Danny Dimes. I like what I'm seeing with the involvement of Danielle Bellinger now with this offense, that he's healthy and he's catching the ball. He's running, he's blocking, he's doing whatever he can. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of him. I just wanted to make sure, before you jump too far ahead of yourself, the receiving room isn't lost yet. They still have the guys I've mentioned. They also have Davis Sills. They also have Richie James, guys that nobody has ever heard of. Doesn't they don't show up on the stat sheet every game, but when their number's called, they're consistent and they're reliable. So like you started off before we started talking Giants, I'm keeping you level-headed here. I don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself.
And I am now. I'm much more level-headed. I think it's a good matchup for us, a good chance to bounce back. We'll be repping those throwback jerseys. Another game in front of the MetLife fans. What more can you ask for? Before we wrap up this evening's show, it is football season, so you know we have to hit you with one of our favorite segments, Start 'em and Sit 'em. But this week we have a twist. On top of doing a start and a sit, for those of you Madden players out there, we're throwing you a player today, the X Factor. So this is a player that we think, now, this is a player that it's going to be a very well-known name. It's not going to be anyone that you're going to scoop up off the waiver wire. It's not a guy that's going to be buried in your bench. This is a well-known name that we are predicting to be the X Factor for their team this week and have a big week and go off.
Offense or defense? We'll throw that in. You think if we think it's a defensive player, then you could say a defensive player. Make it interesting.
If you're in a league that has IDPs, then great. Then great. So I'll get the ball rolling here. My start for this week is a receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. No, it's not Justin Jefferson. It's Adam Thielen. The reason why I'm going with Thielen this week, had a good week last week, put up a touchdown. Marshawn Lattimore, even though he is not one of the big, big names that you think of with cornerback, he's still a name that you need to take seriously. I mean, we saw how he got in Mike Evans' head when they played the Bucs. And, you know, Justin Jefferson is still a young wide receiver. So, you know, Lattimore could expose that. And as we've seen with Cousins in the past few weeks, with the exception of the Lions game, I think, when Jefferson is put up against a premier D-back, it's a very tough matchup. So if you got Thielen on your bench, definitely would throw him in the flex or number two this week. I'm expecting him to get another touchdown. And I'm going to say between 75 and 80 yards. That's my prediction, especially if there's no Dalvin Cook. Josh, who are we starting this week?
This one's actually going to pain me to say, but I've just been going off the track record with how the Jet games have gone. You have Sauce Gardner and you have DJ Reed doing a very good job on the secondary. The front line is doing their job slowing down the run game, but they're the two, three receivers have popped off. We saw T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. Yes, Amari Cooper, but that's because that was a very bad game from Sauce Gardner. Rashad Bateman, even Devin Duvernay. The Jets are allowing these number two, three, four wide receivers to go off. So my start this week is a mix of two guys. George Pickens is one of them, and Chase Claypool is the other. Either or, we'll have a monster game because I think Deontay Johnson is going to be locked up. And that really pains me. I have Deontay Johnson, and it's the only Steeler I'm going to be rooting for, but I'm strongly considering benching him and starting someone else completely different because I think it's going to be a very tough matchup for Deontay Johnson to be able to create separation. And he has a drop problem. So I think it'll be the Chase Claypool, George Pickens show.
If I think they're both good. And the fact that you even are giving two Steelers players the week that you're playing them, that's what a good fan is. Someone who can separate their team and actually give the facts. Just my two cents. I think the more likely guy that's going to be good to go is Pickens. I'm just not a big fan of Claypool. I think he's over.
The only reason why I think Chase Claypool is interesting. I could also see Sauce Gardner being the one to cover him just because of the height. Sauce Gardner.
I was going to say, if Gardner's on Johnson,
Sauce Gardner's 6'3". Chase Claypool's 6'3". So that's, it could be Deontay Johnson, DJ Reed guarding Deontay Johnson and Sauce Gardner on Chase Claypool, which would allow Pickens to go off. So I think it's a safe pick for George Pickens, and I believe you have him, right, Castle?
I do have him. Now, the only way that I consider starting him is if there's no Keenan Allen this week, because if Keenan Allen is healthy, it's him and Metcalf at my 1 and 2 and Christian Kirk at my flex. So unless there's some circumstance where I need to start Pickens, he hasn't had that spike yet, but I do think the game against the Jets will be that spike, but I still think
I sadly agree. And I think after his crazy catch on Thursday night, there's definitely the hype around him where the Steelers are going to want to feed him the ball more because they see the potential.
Yep.
Yes, Odell was a huge star when he made his one-handed catch, but he got the ball more often after that catch because they know whenever he has the ball, something special could happen. And I could see the same thing happening with Pickens.
Me too. I definitely think that's solid. That's going to be another matchup, receiver, cornerback matchup to watch for sure. But I like both of them. Stevie, who are we starting on your end?
Jamal Williams. Swift.
Hey, I love it. I got him in my big money league. He got 24.5 points last week. Looks like Swift is going to be out multiple weeks, but you keep elaborating. I just had
you're on a roll right now. Might as well let you keep going. But like you said, Swift's out, so he's going to be the main guy. He had a lot of yards last week, but even if he doesn't get that many yards, like the Lions can move the ball. And if they get to the goal line, Williams is the guy. Even when Swift is there, like, they like to use Williams at the goal line. He's a little beefier, bigger than Swift. So if they go to the goal line, you know, expect him to be the one. So he should be scoring touchdowns. And they're going against Seattle, who Seattle's not that good at stopping the run. So, you know, I think Jamal Williams, he had a big week last week against the Vikings. And I think he should be in line for another big week this week. And like I said, even if he doesn't get that many yards, he'll probably get at least one touchdown, I would say. And why can't he get a lot of yards? The Lions offensive line is very good, very underrated. No one talks about them too much. So, and I think, you know, Jamal Williams, we saw in Hard Knocks, like, he's a very passionate player, really cares. You know, he really wants to turn this team around. And when he gets this opportunity, he's not going to, and I mean, when he got the opportunity in Green Bay, and like, he always used it well. So, he's not going to shy away from this. And I think he should have a really good game. So I wish I got him in the leagues, but he went quick.
He still got high value, even for a number two back. But I think that's just because the culture of running back by committee today has become so popular that he's the red zone back, which we saw last week.
Yeah. And that's, the running back committees, you know, it's tough to figure out some of them, but you know that he's the, like you said, the red zone, you know, goal line guy. So he scores.
Absolutely. And even though you talked about Hard Knocks, I just got to throw in this little blurb quickly. The next guy up behind him is Craig Reynolds, who showed some flashes during Hard Knocks. He's got some speed. He's a little guy. So who knows? Maybe throwing him in the game could relieve some pressure for Williams and even set him up for a bigger game. So great, great pick. I'm starting him this week in my $50 league. I'm 0-2. I lost by over 60 points last week. So I need this one. Yeah, I need this one. All right, we'll move on to the sits now. And this is a guy that we mentioned earlier. And Josh actually mentioned him. And it's a guy who I do think will have his time when he's going to start to explode. But after looking at what their defense did last week, I don't think that's going to be the case for him. And that's Josh Jacobs. I just think their outside attack of Chubb and Gregory is nasty. I think, as we've seen, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more. I'm expecting maybe if he does get a touchdown, it'll be a short red zone one, but I'm expecting Denver's defense to do a good job of stopping the run. What I've noticed with him in a lot of leagues is he's actually not typically a starting guy. I don't know if you guys have seen different, but the leagues I'm in, he's on the bench a lot. So if you've got him on the bench, keep him there. If not, at most you can throw him in the flex and hope for 10, 15 points maybe. But with his defensive matchup this week, I don't like him. Sit Josh Jacobs. Mr. Fromwitz, who are we sitting on your end?
This one also pains me because this is someone I have on my team, but I really don't like the matchup. But it's going to be Brandon Cooks.
Killed me last week. So I'm glad you said that because I'm mad at him.
I am too. And it's tough because I have him and I have Deontay Johnson. I don't think either one of them are going to be good, and I'm going to have to choose one of the two to start. And I really haven't made up my mind yet on who to start, but I really don't like his matchup with the Chargers. JC Jackson, I believe, is healthy. Yes, Joey Bosa is now injured for a while, but JC Jackson, Asante Samuel, he's going to be seeing a tough corner regardless, so it's going to be a very tough matchup. Him and Davis Mills haven't had a great connection just yet. He's getting targeted a lot, but he's seeing more targets than he is getting receptions. He's having like double-digit attempts every game, but only like 2-3 catches a game. So I'm really not happy with what I'm seeing from Brandon Cooks. So for the time being, you, my friend, are going to ride the bench.
I didn't take my own. Well, I took my own advice and it killed me. I played him over Hollywood Brown, who had nearly 30 points. So he'll be riding the bench for me this week too. So can't disagree with you on that one. Stevie, who are we sitting on your end, my friend?
So I'm going to go with, depending on who you have, any of the Rams running backs. So either if you have Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson Jr.
My man, you're on the money today. You're on the money today.
That's what I like to hear.
I'm sick of Cam Akers. He's riding the bench for me again.
And I'm sick of Daryl Henderson because last week he got me 1 point as my RB2 because some of my other running backs are hurt and whatever. So, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's tough to tell the Rams running backs because week one, it was all Daryl Henderson. And then week two, Cam Akers out carried Henderson, I believe, but then Henderson scored. And then this past week, Henderson did nothing. And then Akers really didn't do anything either, but Akers did more than Henderson. You can't tell between these two guys. It's so weird. Like 1 week, you know, one's getting more carries, one's getting this, one's getting that. But either way, they're both really not putting up any spectacular numbers for where, you know, I think you even want to start them. And it's not worth the risk, as I learned last week. So now, no matter what, Henderson's going to be on my bench for a little bit. And they're going against the 49ers at San Fran. And San Fran's still got a tough defense, especially a really good, you know, D-line and linebacking core. So I don't think they're going to run the ball too well. If they do, I'll be shocked and I won't even be mad. I'll probably laugh and be like a figures, but I'm really not high on the Rams running backs right now, because like I said, you know, kind of going back to the running back committee, this one's tougher to figure out because, you know, you like Detroit or even Chicago, you know, some of these other like teams, like Montgomery's the main guy, Swift's the main guy. But Jamal Williams, you know, he'll still get his fair share, you know, in certain situations, or, you know, same thing, Khalil Herbert, and then other teams. But, like, you really don't know between Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. Like, it's really a toss-up. Like, oh, this one's on the field for all the game or all the half, and then it's, like, the next. You know, it's just you really don't know, and I don't know what Sean McVay has planned with his running backs, but no one can figure it out. So I think it's safer to just – sit them, not only for this week, but maybe for the next couple of weeks to get, you know, so we can get a better idea how, you know, which one's being used. But yeah, that was tough last week. So I want to save people for this week.
You're saving them. All right. I mean, he's got to be one of the biggest busts in fantasy right now. I mean, took him in two leagues way higher than I can't, but solid all around. I think so far we're all making good predictions. Now we're going to do the new one, the X Factor pick. And since it was his idea, it's only right. Josh, let's hear your X Factor for this week.
I've been waiting for this one. This one's exciting. This one's a good one because it's not really who you would think of an X Factor just yet. You know how in Madden, when you are on a superstar development and then you need to have a certain game to upgrade to that X Factor game.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening this week for rookie Drake London.
Wow.
Against the Cleveland Browns. That secondary is Swiss cheese. I have not liked what I've seen from their defense. Drake London has had a very impressive start to his rookie campaign. Over 50 yards every single game. He is the clear number one target for that offense. And it's only right that he has his signature rookie game this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be that X factor for them.
I love that one, actually. I think, you know, I was skeptical to take London in a couple of drafts because of the injury he had leading up to the season. But you know what? That was a big mistake by me. He's got a lot of talent. I like Marcus Mariota this season. He's someone I think we'll be talking more about this show as the season goes on. He's still got some stuff to work out, but I've liked what I've seen from him so far. He hasn't had too many starting opportunities, but besides that, I think London is great. I think this is a great opportunity for him to really burst this season with no Calvin Ridley. So I think that's great. And, you know, it's funny. I was about to take a receiver too, but then I kind of thought X factor and think and just was going through my head. And you even said we could do defensive players. So it kills me to say this, but I'm going with the defensive player. He reps, I believe, number 58. He's a linebacker and he goes by the name of Roquan Smith. He is my X factor for this week. Seeing what happened with our line last week with the
market. I think you might want to stop because Stevie is not happy with your pick. I think he's not, he's making faces. He's upset. You might want to change your pick.
What are you talking about over there? We got to get this guy, like, we got to put him in the jail cell for that comment. What the heck? What the hell is this? Kelsey, you can keep going. I'm loving this. I'm going to
listen. We're still playing you guys. So I'm not going to start, you know, hyping this guy up from the roof. All I'm going to say is looking at what Dan Quinn did with DeMarcus Lawrence last week. I don't know any of your coaches, but considering Smith is one of the bright spots of your defense, top linebacker, he's going to be thrown at the line a lot, probably in both the run and the pass game. Kills me to say it, but if you have him as an IDP, or if you're in an IDP league like me, where you can start a defensive player, start him this week.
That is lovely.
He will be the X factor. I'm not going to start throwing out stats because I don't want any sacks or any fumbles, but I think he'll be an X factor one way or another.
Well, he's coming off a 16 tackle game where he had also an interception. So just, you know, expect more of the same, hopefully. I guess for me, I will go with, number 19 on Monday night, repping the red and gold, and that's Deebo Samuel. I think Deebo, everyone's kind of waiting for that breakout game like he had last year, you know, all those games last year. And I think finally, I mean, he was on primetime last weekend, but that was a weird game, 11-10. We don't really want to talk about that. But I think Deebo is finally going to have that game where everyone's like, that's why he was paid that top money. That's why he was drafted, you know, pretty early in fantasy leagues. And, you know, that's why Deebo Samuel is a top player out of his position and a top player in the league. And, you know, he's going against the Rams where, you know, he's played before. So he knows what to expect from them. And I think the Niners coming off that loss, like, especially, you know, them being 1-2, like, they want to turn things around. And now Jimmy G, you know, he's back. He's as the guy now again. So I could say, listen, we know Deebo could put up numbers. And I think, you know, come Monday night, he's going to do it on the big stage and in the Bay, you know, and at his home. So,
and it seems like his best games come on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You know, Deebo in primetime, he likes that. So especially, you know, a divisional showdown. Sign me up, sign him up, sign my fantasy team up, sign up. Everyone's already signed up. So, you know, I think it should be a good game just within itself. And I think he should have a really good game and be the X factor, which I think he is an X factor in Madden too. So,
yeah, you know. I'm convinced at this point that you have the roster for my big money league. Two of the guys that you said to start this week, I'm starting and I've had on my team and I've needed to. So I'm just sending you my roster every week, Stevie, and you're just going to base it off that because it seems like you're already doing it at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get the email. You know,
it makes up for last week when he picked on you with all his sets.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Metcalf, my friend. He almost had 18 points and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it was a rough start.
And Lockett, you needed some consistency. Back-to-back 9-plus catch weeks.
Yeah, no, listen, I've been totally wrong with fantasy and football this year. I'm going to just keep my mouth shut pretty soon because
you might want to take back what you said about Debo now.
No. We leave it.
No, we keep the positive ones out.
The positive.
Yeah.
And we got one more positive for you guys where – he didn't throw a starter sit today, but he's got to jump in on this new part of the segment. Mr. Hummel, who is your X factor?
Oh, I was excited to say it at first, and I'm even more excited now because of the X factor you gave. It might be obvious. It might be biased. I don't care what you got to say. Saquon Barkley is going to be an X factor this week.
We are.
The man's been running the ball. Unbelievable. The Giants arguably have the most success on offense when they give that man the ball. I don't know what it is. They tend to block more for him than they do for Danny. That's got to be addressed. But I also think that you're jumping the gun a little bit on Evan Neal. It's one game. He's played solid the first 2 weeks, had a rough go at it. It's one game. I think he'll be just fine. Giants fans are already jumping on him. Like rightfully so, but I just think you need to pump the brakes on Evan Neal. Saw the same thing happen with Andrew Thomas. He was awful his first year, labeled a bust. Now he's the best left tackle in all of football right now.
You know, Castle, since you threw in a nice thing about the Bears, I will throw this in nice thing for the Giants. The last time the Bears and Giants met up at MetLife, which I went to, Saquon completely hurdled Adrian Amos, who's no longer on the Bears. So
he's a linebacker, right?
No, safety.
Oh, safety. Why? But, I imagine that guy's a lineman.
He was a hard hitter. So, but he's a Packer now. So, you know, now when I see it, I love it. I don't like seeing it because he's still in the Bears jersey in that picture. But
he's head now.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that was one of the most insane hurdles. I mean, like Saquon, Amos was like pretty high up. Like Amos wasn't really too far down, and Saquon was so far off the ground. The fact that he was able to do that live and then kept going, it was pretty impressive. So I will say Saquon at MetLife against the Bears might, Castle said, or like TJ was saying, could be a big X factor. Now you come to Soldier Field, different story, but in MetLife, you know, I'll give him that. It is his house. You know?
Plus they're wearing the 80s, 90s throwback jerseys. He's going to have his inner LT in him. That man's going to rush.
Yeah, that
man's going to have a career day. He's going to rush for like 250, 400 yards, between 250 and 400 yards.
Yeah, that's going to be scary.
With at least two touchdowns.
Yeah. If he's got like LT kind of like powers inside him, I might be heading for the gates early. So
it's going to be, we're going to be talking a lot, the four of us, this Sunday. A lot of time for football. Very excited about week four, kicking it off with a great game this week. AFC matchup, the Bengalis and the Finns. Can the Bengals end the streak? Can the Finns continue the streak? Who knows? You'll have to tune in and watch. But as always, we want to thank our sponsors and our partners. We continue to be fortunate to have them since the beginning. First, we want to thank Liberty Shirt Co. If you guys watch Fox Sports and you wonder why they look so good in those shirts, look no further than Liberty Shirt Co. Constantly pumping out great shirts, custom shirts. You want a signature on your cuff, they'll do it. You want a funky polka dot design, they'll do it. Go look them up on their website or Instagram. They got a bunch of great stuff. They're coming out with a Stevie collection very soon, fall 2023. That's all we could say at this time. So be on the lookout for that, Stevie. I know you've been wanting a shirt. There's rumors of a collection, so you'll have to wait and see. We also want to thank OP Sports Betting. They're finally active now. We hope to get Greg, who's one of the what is he, the Josh, the CEO, the owner? What's his official title?
I guess founder. I don't really know, but that's
whatever he
CEO,
is.
CEO, founder, whatever he is, that's him.
I'm very interested to have him on, as I think we all are. I mean, the concept of using crypto to bet Saquon running 200 yards against Chicago, for example, is kind of hype. So hopefully we can get Greg on soon and you guys can learn more about that. I want to thank Wild Chat Sports, great partner since the beginning, as we are part of their podcasting network. They're always pumping out great, great interviews. Go check them out. Kevin's been doing a lot of good stuff since he moved out to LA. Maybe we'll have him on soon, as he has a role with the Clippers on top of his role with Wild Chat. And even though he is one of us now, we always have to give a shout out to Mr. Hummel for running our social media. He's pumping out all of these great posts, whether it's football, this day in sports, you name it, it's up there. So go check it out. Be on the lookout for Sundays, of course, for football content. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.